Hello, strong, feisty women. Some of you may recognize my voice. I'm Celine Yeager, host of the Hit Play Not Pause podcast. Throughout my career as a professional health and fitness writer and now a podcaster, I hear countless questions from women who are trying to understand how their ever-changing hormones impact their sports performance. So we decided to serve up some answers in a brand new series called Hormonal that we will be releasing on the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast feed. Throughout this four-part series, reproductive endocrinologist Dr. Carla DiGirolamo and I will be tackling topics like periods, the pill, pregnancy, and conditions like PCOS, all from the perspective of sports performance. If you aren't already, follow the Feisty Women's Performance Podcast and stay tuned for our first episode releasing on April 15th. Also, have questions you want answered? Send us a voice note at speakpipe.com/hormonal and we'll get it answered on the show.
Iron Women is excited to announce a new partnership with Bicycle, the largest global marketplace for pre-owned bikes. With more than 20,000 pre-owned and refurbished road, gravel, mountain, and triathlon bikes available, Bicycle connects buyers and sellers on a global scale and makes the process of buying and selling bikes safe, easy, and convenient for riders. We all know there are plenty of marketplaces and classified sites out there, but what sets Bicycle apart is their guaranteed buyer protection, secure payments, simple shipping, and first-class customer service. Additionally, when you sell a bike, Bicycle provides a bike box directly to your door and coordinates pickup at a time that works best for your schedule. That kind of service has me swayed, and I'm cleaning up one of my old race bikes to sell on Bicycle right now. For a limited time, you can save up to $100 on your purchase at Bicycle by entering the code FEISTYTRY, all caps and one word, at checkout. That's code FEISTYTRY at Bicycle.com. BUYCYCLE.com.
I love riding my bike. I love running. I don't care what they think about it. I love it.
At that point, when I knew I was going to win, chills just went up and down my entire body.
I don't believe there are any good or bad foods. Food is food.
I still feel so passionate about getting that record that I'm like, I'm just going to do it.
As an athlete, I was like, what's my story or what's your story? What can you learn from it? And what can you teach people?
Welcome to the Iron Women podcast. I'm Alyssa Gadeski, and I'm here with a special guest this week. For the whole show, we have a special guest, Kelly O'Mara, fellow feisty woman, fellow podcast host on the If We Were Riding podcast. Kelly, I guess I'm just going to do the thing where I leave it to you if you want to introduce yourself any other way. But yeah, Kelly, thanks for joining me. Thanks for subbing in for Haley. To our loyal listeners, Haley Chura is not with us this week because she is across the globe in Singapore getting ready to race the T100 Singapore race that's happening in a few days. And so we wanted her to go focus all in on that, not worry about podcasting this week. We brought Kelly on, so we have a really fun show here and you all get to listen to me and Kelly this week.
I didn't realize we were doing the whole show.
Settle in. I hope you cleared your calendar. Newsflash. Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully this doesn't end up being too much like If We Were Riding, because it is just going to be our banter, but we are going to focus more on some race reflections because Oceanside happened last week and then also race preview. So that's going to be a big chunk. I want everyone to get super pumped up to be watching Haley crush the race this weekend. And so I do think the triathlon world is kind of, it's okay that we're not bringing on a special interview guest this week, because I think I've definitely been pausing more to kind of take a look at these races that have been happening and like see, it's like a new era of triathlon, right? So it is a really big deal that the Ironman series has kicked off. It is a big deal that this T100 series is going. And I think giving a little bit more, you know, extra focus to that is a good thing to get us all super psyched, super supportive, because we see what happens when people invest in sports, mostly invest in women's sports, which leads me to my first catch-up topic for us, Kelly. Women's basketball.
Women's basketball. Did you watch all of it all weekend?
I did watch all of it all weekend. And I will say, I am totally a bandwagon person. Mm-hmm. So Matt, my husband, my new husband, Matt, he...
Okay, that's how you introduced him to me. Right?
Old partner, new husband, Matt, has always been a women's basketball fan because Ohio State is pretty good. And so he's always followed women's basketball and kind of kept me in the loop. It's not like I didn't like women's basketball, but I fully admit this year I have jumped onto the bandwagon, like even late so, and gotten really into it because I was like, yeah, these games are actually really good, yeah. Really, really interesting and really fun. Like they are just everything that sports, I feel like, is fun about. Yeah. Right.
Good games. Here's my problem with watching basketball, right? You ready?
Okay.
As opposed to triathlon. You like can't walk away. I can't be like, true. Oh, I'm going to go make a snack. Oh, I'm going to like, because it just, you don't pay attention. Like I randomly will get into basketball over the years and then like go to a bunch of games, whatever. You can't like, you walk away and you're like, oh shit, what just happened? Like now they're up by 10, right? Like it's terrible.
It is terrible. And I find it very frustrating that the fouls basketball, it's very, very frustrating to me that you cannot apparently even touch someone's arm as they're like pretending they might be shooting, and that's a foul. Like that to me,
you can touch someone's arm.
You could be boxing someone out like aggressively, like under the net, but then you know you kind of like tap them, and it's a foul. Like I need to watch more. Clearly, I need to watch more and like immerse myself in this culture.
Alyssa, there are rules. Like they're very specific rules. Okay, about like you can't move your feet. You can't like your hands, you can't like grab someone, right? You can be like boxing them out with your body, but you can't like grab their shirt. That's where it starts to be like the whole you can't move your feet. That's the one that obviously like that's the what changes, you know, a block into like an illegal.
Right.
But that's always like, I don't know.
I'm sure if some people grew up with basketball, the rules make a little bit more sense. But I'm enjoying this time now as a bandwagon fan. I plan to ride this bandwagon all the way through. And so that was part of my weekend, and my weekend was pretty quiet. My yesterday though, Kelly,
you
was wild.
You went eclipsing.
Oh, I went
did
eclipsing.
Did you guys actually get, and I think The Path of Totality is the name of a sci-fi movie in my head, but did you guys actually get totality there?
We were an hour south, but we drove up to totality because we were like, I mean, when are we ever going to be in this close again? Right. So, and we did hear that like, there is a really big difference between experiencing it. And so if you're on the line, it was like, let's just go do it. We had a friend with like a house up there who was letting people come up and doing a thing. So we were really excited. And I will say, have you ever experienced a solar eclipse before? I have never. I mean, I've seen like a partial one, I think.
Yeah, I saw the last partial one. I like saw, like we stopped on the side of the road and watched, but I have never seen like the full. My husband went yesterday with his
old husband,
not my new husband. So he went and saw the whole thing, but yeah, I've never seen like the whole thing.
It is really cool. People are probably very sick of us talking about it because the people in the path of the eclipse were like very aggressively into it, but as someone who was into it, I'm like, yeah, we were in it, and it was really cool because it gets totally dark, Kelly. For us, the temperature probably dropped like 20 or 30 degrees. Like it got really cold, and then the wind died, and it just got like, you could just feel like it felt like night for 3 minutes or whatever it was, and then it kind of just comes back. Like it's over so fast. But it was really cool just to like experience this thing that would never, ever really happen otherwise, you know? So it made me feel very small in the grand scheme of, yeah. Like, you know, you realize that like the world is really big. Like it's just so much bigger than
you just
your tiny little, yeah. No, it was a good reminder of that because I mean, these things are just so cool and so crazy. And it's like, it just reminds you that it's like, yeah, we're just, I think one of my friends said like, we're just along for the ride. And I think that was a really good way to put it. That was how it made me feel.
You know what? I got really hung up on like what people used to think, like must have thought back in the day when they like, because it also doesn't happen that frequently. So it's like, you know, it's not like they would get used to it. It wouldn't be like, oh, this happens every year. It would just be like,
and their lifespans were short, so people would have died, right?
So they would like see it happen one time and they would just be like, oh my god, the world is ending.
Mm-hmm. But you would have no idea. They didn't, I don't know if they had the glasses back then, but you would have no idea. Like most of the people wouldn't even know. So they could tell their neighbor that lives an hour away, and the neighbor would be like, what are you talking about? You're going crazy. That didn't happen.
So I just, that's what I was like, man, that would have been like, no wonder they like burn people as witches, because I'd be like, well, what else explains this? Yeah.
Yes. No, I'm totally, I'm with you. So that was my big news of the week. I think you had a race though, right?
I did. Okay. Do you want to talk about like watching sports? I started running before Oceanside started on Saturday. And I wasn't done till after it had finished. I was like, oh God, this is terrible.
Too bad you couldn't have just like had your phone going and just listened to it while you were running. Like,
do people, okay, here's a question. Okay, so we're going to do a little ultra running segment here. You're going to give me advice because I'm doing my first 100K in like 3 weeks. Do people use headphones in like these super long ultra?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, they do. I never really was a big headphone user, but I always would have them as like a... because if I go to the headphones, I'm usually in like a deep, dark place, you know, or it's like a third day event. Right. But people definitely use them. I think if you like doing that, I think it's good. And I think the studies, the science of it, Kelly, is
pretty bad.
Positive. Yeah.
I'm not a headphone person either, but I definitely go to them when it's like super ugly.
Yeah.
So,
or you're just bored.
You're just bored. That's the thing. So I did a 50K. It was a very, very long, like it was like 8,000 feet of climbing, lots of mud. Like, so it took a really long time, but it was my last big practice before my first 100K, which is in 3 weeks, which I am like very aware I'm in over my head. Like
this it's going to be stacked.
Yeah. No, I'm not like competing. Like this is definitely a, like, I'm going to be out there for like a long time.
Yeah, but you're a good athlete. I think it'll be fun for you to be not competing and to still be in a really competitive race environment, you know?
It'll be super interesting. It's like, I just wanted to do it, whatever. Everybody knows I wanted to do it because I'm trying to get, I want to get stones for UTMB. Like, this is my goal. But it's not like, it's not particularly one of my like specialties, right? Like run durability and like long distance. Like the fact that I managed to not get injured is actually like amazing because I've never really, I don't run this much. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to like have total breakdown the second half and all that. Like, that's fine. But it is really weird. Not like I am having to adjust kind of in my head, like this 50K this past weekend, I started out like, you know, I'm used to racing. I'm like, oh, I'm winning this. And then it was like, oh no, 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 no. Deep, dark place. Need to like pull back. Just accept I'm going to be out here for 6 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. The people who are good at ultra running generally fall into one of two categories. They either go out really fast, and then they have that ability to dissociate, I think, the pain, and like will just keep going at that no matter what and like completely wreck themselves, or they start slow and by attrition in the sport, because the sport actually hasn't boomed enough that attrition doesn't help you with your standings, right? So like, if you do start slow and you just like hang on pretty evenly, the attrition of it, you'll like just move up in the field. And actually, you know, someone like you, you're going to do really well. So you should maybe try that strategy next.
That's starting to work. I'm going to do very medium, actually. Like, yeah. I feel like people don't, but I feel like I need a PSA though. So do you guys have, I am covered in poison oak now. And Sarah Gross was like shocked by this. She was like, oh my God, I can't believe you got poison oak again. But like, that's everywhere here, like it, poison oak's like, I don't know, the state flower of California, right? Like you cannot run on trails and like not have to learn how to deal with this.
Oh,
so is that like not a thing another, like do people, is this like,
we have poison oak, we have a lot of poison ivy, but Ivy's, you have to like go off trail to pee and then you get it. It's not gonna really, generally speaking, I mean obviously that's, this is a generalization, but it's not gonna like grab you while you're running, so it would be pretty rare to just go on a trail run and like end up with poison something.
See here, everything's like super overgrown because you get like, we're just out of the rainy season and so everything's super overgrown, and so you like, you just like hit it without realizing.
Yeah,
here's my problem though, like so obviously I'm used to this at this point, I like have a system, I like go home on tech new, right? Like problem was, we were on a single track.
Is tech new, tech new is a soap?
Oh yeah. I feel like this is my PSA. If you, you should get tech new, and you should always tech new after you're like, know that you went through like poison ivy or poison. Mm-hmm. It's just like, it's like scrubs the oils off in the shower. It's like little, like it, cause regular soap doesn't necessarily get the oils off. You can use dish soap too.
Okay. Oh, dish soap
works. Yeah.
Dish soap works for everything.
Dish soap works for everything. But the problem was, we were out there for so long, like 30 minutes in this race, we were running on a single track, and I looked down and I was like, we are just running through poison oak. Like I can, like, we're just like running through poison oak bushes. Like, but then I was, you know, 6 more hours and driving home. So by the time I got to the shower, even though it just was too late.
That seeped in. But you're doing good. You're resisting. It's itchy, right?
Oh my God. This is actually, yeah, it's really itchy. This is actually not too bad. Like, I've had it really bad where it's like blistery and oozy. This isn't like you get super bad blisters. I only have one really bad. This is just like really low level little bumps like all over my legs.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Not good.
Super not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever? So it's apparently basically an allergic reaction. Like your body is having a reaction, you know? And so there's people, if you get it like really, really bad, like if it goes systemic, you basically can end up in the hospital, but you also like, you then develop, like you're more sensitive to it the next time. Like you get it worse every time. Yeah.
Oh, that's not good.
No. No.
How long does it take to go away?
Like a week or two. So I'm like, oh, this is annoying.
Yeah. But you're still running and doing some training.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't like not run just because you have poison oak. That'd be crazy. Nobody would ever run out here.
Okay, so 2 weeks to the 100K?
Yeah, yeah. That's and exciting. I feel like, you know, when you're like, and I think you know me enough to know that like you can imagine, I have a tendency to get close to a race and be like, you know what, hay's in the barn, I should just rest. And I like cut back like way too much.
Oh,
I'm like
gosh.
The opposite of like a type A triathlete. Right?
Yeah, no, I think I've moved more towards that in my old age here, but I can relate to that. But it's taper time for sure. So
taper time, yeah.
Well, okay, so let's talk about Oceanside. So you were running during it. What was your strategy to catch up? Did you just look at results? Did you catch any of the coverage? Did you go back and watch?
Yeah, I went back and watched some of it. I like when I finished, I definitely like checked the results. And then some people were like telling me like, oh, the coverage is bad, which I just feel like, I don't know, right? Like we can't have this. I feel like the coverage was the same as it always, right? Like we can't have the same conversation every time.
Well, I will say this. I watched the second half.
Okay.
And I will say, Didi and Matt Lieto did a great job commentating. However, it seemed like they lacked someone in the producer role.
That
like at least
on those broadcasts.
Thank you, Outside Watch. You can hire me to help you with these things because the coverage was only bad because of that. Because sometimes like Matt would just be talking and then all of a sudden Matt would be like, and you know, Emma Palin Brown is now running through the field, and then it like cuts him off right then and goes to commercial. And then the commercial would end. And it would be showing the race, but no one would be talking, but you would just hear Didi and Matt whispering. You'd hear the whispers because they didn't think that they were on. And then it would be really awkwardly silent. And then it was like, so they clearly didn't have someone clearly telling them when they were on and off.
Behind the scenes, last time I was at Oceanside was the first year that we'd like, when I worked for Outside, and was the first year we were doing the Outside Watch. And so I was down there for like the TV crew, and there's a bunch of different teams that are involved in that. And so there's like a team in Boulder that does the relay that like puts the ads in.
Oh.
And so like they have to communicate then to like the Ironman person who tells, and there's a delay. And so they clearly just like had that timing wrong. You know what I mean? Like they were off on the delay.
Yeah, they need to fix that because the commentating itself, I mean, Didi and Matt know the sport. They know the athletes really well. That's like great. And then the other thing I will say is like thinking about the position of the cameras. They had a finish line camera, but it was so dark. No, like Didi and Matt couldn't see. And so they'd be like, and you know, who's coming in? And is it Danielle Lewis? Is it Danielle Lewis or is it Fenella? And they'd be like, and then the person would be like at the line. Like it's not like, and they wouldn't know. And then they'd be like, it's a pro man actually. Like, you know, so that kind of thing. And they handled it beautifully. Like they still knew who was supposed to be, like they could only clearly work with what they were given. So, but as always, some coverage is better than no coverage, which was good.
And I always feel like the thing is too, like Ironman isn't, what's the word? Like there are some organizations that are saying like, we're going to revolutionize the broadcast coverage. Like our product is broadcast coverage and we're putting a lot of money into it. Like that's not what Ironman's doing. Ironman's like using the pros to promote their mass participation sport, right? Like, so that's not necessarily like their primary objective. Mm-hmm. So I kind of get it. But you watch a lot of basketball, right? And they had really like this weekend
now
and they have clearly like these binders of stats, right? They're always like, this is the most points someone has scored in the third quarter on a Tuesday since, right? Like they have all these stats.
Yeah.
And, like, clearly we don't have that in triathlon. Like there's nobody behind the scenes, like feeding you information and like making sure it all. And it's like, we could do that. We could hire.
We could totally do that. One thing I did think was pretty cool that came out of Oceanside was it looked like all the pros there who are participating in the series got free photos to use afterwards and headshots to use like for their stuff before, which is, I mean, Kelly, back in our day, it was like, hey, are you doing your shakeout job? I need a photo for my Instagram, please. You know, like, I mean, having, I don't know if our listeners really can comprehend this, but just trust me, having any amount of professional photos ever taken and given to you for free, like without, you know, issue is so, so huge for people trying to make their way in the sport. And like, it just elevates like the professionalism of everyone involved times a million, which is like, I mean, it's such an easy, simple thing to do. I'm so glad they did this. And obviously the PTO has been doing this at the, what do we call T100 before the T100 races? So it's great. Yeah. It's happening. Things are professionalizing.
I do think Ironman's like realize what the pros like, right? Like, okay. So like the T100 is really like marketing itself as like, we have 20 people, they're on contract. We're going to be this closed tour system. Like you can't get in. Right. I mean, I know like you can, and Haley is going to be like the best wild card that isn't, you know, a contracted athlete.
Yes.
But then like the, so Ironman has finally realized that they have like everyone else. And they're like, okay, if we just, and I think they finally understood that like what the pros can do then is be a marketing tool. Like they have hundreds.
They're influencers.
Yeah. They have hundreds and hundreds of people who are like the best athlete in their area. And they've really made an effort. Like that whole website where it's like all the stats for like every person racing in the Ironman Pro Series and like little bios, like behind the scenes, that takes like a lot of work. Like it's not like automate, it's not AI.
No.
It's like every single person like wrote those. So I think they finally like have a little bit figured that out, which is cool.
Yeah. It is good. I liked it. Okay, so the results.
Has created some craziness because now there's like so many people that want in to these pro series races, it's like causing drama.
Some issues. Yeah. But I'd rather see that.
Sure.
I think. Right?
Yeah.
That's now a better that, like, problem to have. To, like,
it's a good problem to have. They're going to have to work it out.
Yeah.
But yeah. But that's why there were like, I don't know, how many men were there? 82? 79? Yeah. Something like that.
A lot.
A lot.
I mean, I admittedly, so, and this was the thing, I mean, you didn't watch the coverage. It was funny. I tuned in and they were showing Lionel running. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you saw any of the photos, but.
Oh, I went and watched like it late, right? Because I have an outside. Oh, I still have like an outside membership, so I can go back.
You watch. Yeah. So I like didn't, I was like, that's not Lionel. I was like, that is not Lionel. That's not running like Lionel. It doesn't look like Lionel. Like Lionel grew a beard. Does he have a beard or is it just like the camera? I was like, that's not Lionel. Like, what are they saying? This is like another man, right? And spoiler alert, it was Lionel. And apparently he's like running differently now. And he you know, did pretty well. I did think he was gonna break some people's hands as he was high-fiving through the finish line shoot. That was terrifying for all of those like children sticking their hands out. But Lionel won.
Yes.
Sam Long was second. I'm not sure who was third in the men's race.
Jackson. Jackson was third.
Okay.
Won there before. And like, good for Lionel, right? Like, I like Lionel. Like, obviously, I know some people are like up and down on him. I came around. I think like he just like wears his heart on his sleeve. Like, great. I think.
Yeah.
Like, I think when we're like, why is Lionel like changing his mind every 20 minutes about like what he's gonna do? I think he's just like talking you through his internal. Like in real time.
That long? Right? Yeah. Like... I agree. Okay. I'd be on board with that. I was excited to see that because I mean, it feels like it's fun to watch people who have been around in the sport now for a long time that people are counting out to still be succeeding.
And then on the women's side, like, I mean, I think we all kind of were like, okay, this is Taylor's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I would like to say, so we did, Haley and I did our picks last week. I almost nailed it, Kelly, because I picked Taylor. Then I picked Paula and I picked Danielle Lewis as my dark mare pick.
Card. Okay.
And then she almost was third, but then Emma. So this is interesting. There have definitely been DQs at Oceanside before for this specific reason. I've actually never heard of people getting them overturned successfully. So I was shocked to see Emma Pallet Brown and Braden Curry both got their DQ. Do you know any more details of how that was accomplished?
So I feel like, so people who don't know, there's like a section on the military base where it's a very steep downhill and somebody crashed and like died or was seriously hospital once. And so the base will only let Ironman come now if there's like a speed limit on that section. Mm-hmm. And so there's a timing mat at the top and the bottom. And it's just like, if you cross those two timing mats in like less time than would be for the speed limit, you're automatic. Like, it's an automatic DQ. It just like triggers.
Very cut and dry.
Very cut and dry. So yeah, like you said, like this has happened before with pros. I've never seen it because of that. I've never seen it overturned either.
Yeah.
And apparently Emma, like, I mean, apparently she basically like filed her protest, right? You pay your $50, whatever.
Right.
And like showed them her Garmin file and was like, look, like I never went over the speed limit. And they accepted that. I guess they like, and I guess they were like, it's kind of like proving your speedometer didn't work or something, right? Like, I guess they accepted like she did what she was told to do.
Right.
But to your point, like I was surprised because it is really cut and dry.
Yeah.
So I was like, good for them for like being a little bit more understanding. But I also was like, there's no way that's happening for the age groupers. Like,
no, definitely not. Definitely not. But good. I'm glad that was like a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm sure for Emma, she's had a rough couple weeks. Yeah. So she probably appreciated that, but I'm sure that was very stressful for her. But I guess.
And I feel like she was like, she looked like she was in tears. Paul looked like she was in tears. Like, yeah. Like, oh man.
I don't know if you caught this when you were watching Kelly, watching Taylor come off the bike with an 8-minute lead. And it's like, man, what do you do with those 8 minutes, right? And like to see her casually racing is like such a sight to see. It's such a treat. I mean, it's like I think it's probably better than the Caitlin Clark of, right, she's triathlon. So like,
it's crazy.
It's really cool to see, I think. And it was funny to watch her be like, oh, I didn't get Danielle's bike record. But then they were like, no, you did tie it. And she was just like, still not happy. Right. So I'm like, oh man.
I also think being like, obviously it's a big California race. So obviously I have a ton of friends who did it and I've heard all about it. I think it was very windy and like,
yeah.
So most people bike significantly slower. So like,
you have to and cold.
Well, it's always cold there, but like, it just like, it was bad. It was rough conditions this year for the bike.
Yeah.
And so for her to be like, to have biked that fast is actually like, wow.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was cool. It was really cool.
She is crazy. I am like not surprised. I feel like I love Taylor. I actually think she's really funny. I think she's like, I hate when people say like good for the sport because that makes it sound like, right. Like whatever. But I do think
it has to be a certain way to be good for the sport. Right. Yeah.
But I do think she's super entertaining and like, mm-hmm. I'm like just does what she wants to do. But this whole like Ironman pro system where like every second counts for points, the fact that Taylor was there basically then makes all the other women's scores super low because, and I didn't really think this through.
Yeah.
Somebody pointed it out to me later because it's 1 point per second you're behind the winner. So now all of a sudden Paula and Emma's scores are as low as like the 12th place man because, and it also doesn't, I mean, obviously Taylor's going to be Taylor. But in theory, it also doesn't incentivize the first place person to go any, like, they're like, well, I'm already winning. I got the maximum points. Like,
right.
Yeah.
No, that is a part of the system I do think needs some reworking. I think it reminds me too much of that 8% rule that like they did away with.
That's what I said too.
And like, we know that didn't work. Don't try and now do it with a point system. Like it never really makes good sense. Right. And even on the broadcast, Stevie was just like, yeah, if I was racing, I would not be racing races where Taylor's going to be. Right. Because you're like putting yourself in a hole, which stinks. Right. And you could have the best day of your life, the best finish of your life, and somehow like end up not getting anything for it in this grand scheme of the standings, which
I'm pretty sure
really
like
frustrating.
Cause it zeros out at a certain point. Cause every second's worth a point. So obviously at some point you're down to zero.
Oh, yeah.
And I think for the women, that was like 14th place. Like I'm pretty sure I would have been like 0 points.
which is super frustrating. And it's just like, again, putting, you know, it's like, yes, that could equally as much happen with someone on the men's side when the men have their unicorn person, right? But like, it's giving women but one more like issue with getting money and getting all of the things, right?
Which is like, cool. And this is like, I don't know, like not to get like super, right? It is more common on the women's side of sports for there to be these big gaps,
outliers,
because like the sport's still like X amount, not the sport in general, but women's sports are still X amount young. So you have these big jumps and these big gaps.
Yeah.
And then like everyone catches up and then like it jumps again and everyone that'll level off eventually. But right now that's still like way more common. And so it's sort of like, oh, cool. Great. Awesome.
It's pretty clear that.
And also, I literally, until a friend of mine was texting me about this, like after the race, did not understand the slogan, every second counts, until that second. Like I literally like did.
I just am learning that now. I'm figuring that out. That makes okay. Whoa. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. I have to say, I'm not jealous of that system. I'm praising that. I'm happy to be watching that from my couch.
I mean, in the same, like, obviously, like, Iron Man has kind of adopted the attitude and the mentality across the pro series and the thing, that basically they treat every athlete the same, right? Mm-hmm. It's like everyone's sort of equal. Like, there is no, right? And the yeah. PTO's kind of adopted, like, the opposite mentality. Like, some people are better than others.
Right.
And so, like, and I, so I, like, appreciate it as a mentality, but you can see why, like,
it's a great way to put it. Okay, so do you have any other Oceanside thoughts?
I don't think so. I do secretly hate that race. I don't understand why everybody loves it.
I know. Well, and you know what bothers me about it is that everyone who, well, and you're actually different because you live in California and you hate that race. I feel like everyone else is like, this is the world championship. This is the true world championship, blah, blah, blah. This is like the who's who. And I'm like, okay, there are also like really competitive East Coast races too. It's like, now everything's competitive, right? Like, let's get over ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, I end up doing it because it's out here and you can drive to it. And it is like the big one on the West Coast.
Yeah.
We have fewer races on the West Coast than on the East Coast. So I think that you get a higher concentration, but I do just dislike that race.
Yeah. I just feel it. Now I feel really bad for the 15th pro woman.
Oh,
it might have been Alex Watt, actually. We should give Alex like a...
I was going to say,
discount code.
I'm pretty sure it was Alex because I saw he was the first one to get like 0 points or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it stinks. Yeah. Good thing. She's young. She'll bounce back. All right, Singapore. Team 100 Singapore. Wow. So
one race to the next now.
Before we get into this, I will do, Haley always gives these details. So I looked up how to watch when it is. So I looked up for the women's time is at 2:15 a.m. Eastern Saturday morning. So Kelly, that will be 11:15 p.m.
Friday.
Sounds like you're actually a night owl. You're probably awake then. Friday night. And then you can do it on the PTO app or their YouTube channel seems like it's going to have it. So it should be very easy for those of us in the U.S. to watch. Elsewhere, good luck.
In Europe, it's on Eurosport.
I will say,
if you have HBO Max or Max, whatever they're calling it now,
they
have been having all of the Eurosport feeds. It's on Eurosport in Europe, it will probably be on Max. Like, that's where I watched it last time.
So. Cool. Okay. Yeah. So watch it or plan to just get up and turn it on before you see any spoilers, basically, is what everyone should do. Okay. So Singapore's happening. This is going to be interesting. There were some people on the start list who raced Oceanside. So that is interesting.
Are there anyone on the women's side?
I thought
it was just like Sam Long was doing it. I was pretty sure. I wasn't sure if there were that many women.
The link to the women's full list was not working for me. So hold on, let me find it.
I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
But I don't see, like, there's no, like Paul is not doubling. Brown's not doubling. Like, none of those big names are doubling. Mm-hmm. Sam Long is. No, that's a whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the women are going to be, this is going to be good. There's going to be some women who are primed and ready for this. What would you say that the biggest factor we should expect to play into here is?
I feel like this race is going to be all about the heat, right? Like, I mean, obviously Singapore is always about the heat. Like, it's, but I feel like we need to be clear. There is a massive, like, world record setting heat wave sweeping through Southeast Asia right now. Like, thousands of schools are closed in the Philippines. They're like worried in Thailand that like the ocean waters are going to get so hot that like coral's going to die. Like, it's like record hot. And so there are these, obviously the PTO, not obviously, but the PTO races are officially world tri races. And so there are world tri rules about when the heat plus humidity, like, it's not just like the temperature, it's the temperature plus humidity exceeds a certain point. You have to like shorten or cancel or like all this. And I don't think they're gonna, I would be like shocked if they cancel the pro race because there's an age group race too. Okay. But I mean, it may, anyway. So that's like obviously the big factor is like
the heat,
the wet glow bulb temperature index.
Is that what it's called? The wet glow bulb?
It's wet bulb globe temperature. That's the index of like heat plus humidity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah. I mean, it sounds hot just talking about it. So that's exciting. But I will say a lot of these people did race in Miami and they raced pretty well, you know? But there is a lot of different names too.
There's a lot of names.
There's a lot of names.
It's the humidity too. I think we got to bet on like Ashley Gentle. She excels in those conditions, right? Mm-hmm. Like amazing. And Imogen Simmons has been like training in Thailand, ooh, right? Like,
oh,
that's my pick for like though. No one yeah. to like, that's my, like, she's going to be like third. You know what I mean?
That's her dark mare. Is that, oh no, that's a podium pick.
Yeah. Like because I think like she's been training over there. Like it's going to be all about like who is good at this kind of.
Yeah. I think we will potentially see, I mean, but again, they did well in Miami, but like you would think the Brits would struggle a little bit more, you know, but
this is also at like 2 p.m. there.
True. It's yeah. gonna be really hot and terrible.
I like how we're
I hope they don't listen
awful.
To this. I hope Haley's not listening to this until after her race, but Haley always does really well, so
yeah, she'll be fine. Yeah,
yeah. But I okay, so they had Team 100 Miami, where we saw Lucy leading the race. We saw India Lee kind of come in and, like, you know, have this moment where she passes Lucy. If you're Lucy now, right, but you also now have Ashley in the mix to contend with, right? I'd put her as like a front runner. What do you think Lucy's approach is going to be? Because I think Lucy likes to race from the front. Like, do we think she's still going to just go off the front and
absolutely
be like on fire because she hates to lose, and so now she's yes. just racing off the front even harder? Yeah.
Do you think like Lucy's gonna have changed her whole personality in like 3 weeks? Like, I don't think so, right?
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah. That is a really good way to look at it. No, she is gonna just like go off the front and yeah. just be like, yeah, now, because she, I think that's one of the reasons she is so fun to watch, is because that is how she races, and because you can see sometimes in her how much she hates to lose, right? And so she doesn't want to lose again. She doesn't want to lose on the run. You know that. But Ashley Gentle is a really big contender here, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I like, obviously, like, Ashley doesn't have quite the same, like, swim-bike combo of Lucy, but, like, she's capable of running, especially in those conditions, I don't know, like, 5 minutes faster on it? Like, something, like, hugely faster, right? A lot faster.
Yeah.
So, and then you have Chelsea Sodaro, which will have a similar to Ashley. Like, I'm sure we'll see Ashley and Chelsea, like, together. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's not like Chelsea's like particularly known for the heat, but of course, like, she's been fit. She like set a course record or whatever at her like one race so far this year. And so like, I fully expect her to be also like running up through the field, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Did Rebecca Clark do Oceanside?
No.
Okay. Oh no. She's doing Texas. She's doing Singapore, Texas double. Okay.
Yeah. People are, it's so an many interesting doubles thing, to keep track right? of. It mm-hmm. is, because like some of these contracted athletes for T100 who picked Oceanside instead, yeah. like I understand why Emma did, because like she like doesn't do super well in the heat, right? So I understand why she'd be like, race no. that's going to yeah. be 37 degrees or yeah. race is going to be, yeah. But it is like kind of like Taylor, I don't totally like, I know Taylor Nibb like wanted to get her 70.3 world spot.
True.
But it's also like, when is she going to come over to the T100? Is she going to wait till after the Olympics, I guess?
I mean, T100 is a lot of travel.
Yeah.
So that could factor in, you know. I mean, it's just a lot of back and forth. And if she does want to just kind of like buckle down at this point, you probably don't want to do like long haul flights, right? But it is interesting. This race, I think, is going to be really interesting, because there are, now that we have Oceanside, then we have this, and then we have Texas, I feel like we're getting a different spread than we saw in Miami. So
for sure.
we're going to have... Yeah, so let's see. Okay, so we did make some official picks.
Official picks.
I'll let you go first, and then I'll copy yours. Just kidding. No, I'll let you go first.
I mean, I'm going to have to pick Ashley, even though, like, okay. obviously we still have, like, India and Lucy and whatever. But I'm going to pick Ashley, and then I'm going to say Lucy. And then, yeah, Imogen is my third place podium.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That was very similar. I did pick India for third. That was where I differed from you. But my dark mare is, of course, Haley Chura, sure. because I actually think, as I was starting to look at this lineup, I was like, I think Haley is a podium contender, like 100% in this field. She races really well in the heat. She has a good mindset. She's already told us that she was training for Texas and then decided to do this instead. And that means Texas is off the table. And Haley performs so well on Ironman Fitness. It's insane. Wow. So we know this about her. I think she's going to do really well. She's like got nothing to lose. She's kind of racing with that mentality, I feel like, which is good. Which is probably true for a lot of these women, like Jocelyn McCauley, right? Ellie Salthaus. Like you see these names and you're like, these women are just going to go for broke and shake things up a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's in the middle of the afternoon, so it's not going to just go dark on them while they're biking. So that's good.
Yeah, that was weird. That was interesting. We are way more allowed to make fun of the PTO broadcast only because they set themselves up for it. Because sure. They're like, we're putting $10 million into this. Sorry, I think they actually are spending $18 million total this year, is what I've heard. So we're allowed to make fun of that.
Maybe these races are going to make, like, you know how people don't like to get, like, the glow sticks and Kona? It's like, you want to finish, get off, you know? Right. Maybe they'll start giving the athletes glow sticks to make it a trend.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
That's what they're thinking. Yeah. All right, Kelly, I think that was the end of my...
Your list of things.
My list of things that we wanted to do with you as our special guest. I hope we didn't intercede too much with the,
well, we talked about riding. Triathlon, and if we were riding, we never talk about triathlon. So.
Perfect. It's a good compliment still then. Yes. Okay. So for all of our listeners, remember 2:15 AM Eastern, check out Haley. Let's all give her some cheers. I'm sure she will feel the vibes from us from afar and make sure we are, on top of the spectating. Let's keep these coverages going with lots of views, lots of downloads, whatever they're looking for, subscription. No one needs a subscription to that, right?
No one
so just watch it or just put it on and don't watch it.
I don't know if that's how it works. I used to do that, like leave the TV on just because then people would know, but apparently that's not how it works.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, whoops. Well,
whatever.
Live and learn. All right, Kelly. Well, what's, how much are you running this week with your Poison Oak?
Do you have a workout today? Well, I should tell you. So I am headed to New York on this weekend on Sunday for the Olympic Paralympic Media Summit for Race Team.
Okay.
To like interview a bunch of the athletes. My biggest fear is not getting sick. Obviously with like that many, a work thing with that many people like a week before my 100K. I'm gonna be one of those people. I mean, I always wear a mask still on the planes because planes are planes, but I'm gonna be definitely one of those people that's like, you know, like the
I think the athletes will appreciate it if you're like even masked until you're like in an appropriate place, right? I would love that if I was going to a media event. I'm sure they probably all have their trials ish stuff coming up, right? So
athletes never, I mean, athletes don't want to get sick, right? So like,
So you're interviewing them for Feisty. When will we see that content? Do we know?
Well, all like in the lead up to the Olympics, we have a whole big lead up to the Olympics.
Okay.
So you got to do all your stuff right now because of the whole like blackout before the Olympics. So you got to get all your content right now.
That's good. Imagine if there was a blackout before Kona.
You know how some people go into a blast. Some people are like,
self-imposed.
No media, and you're like, okay.
I know. Cool. Daniela still won't come on our show. It's really sad. She's just on her own little permanent blackout.
Does whatever she wants to do. Yeah. She's
Daniela. If you're listening, or anyone has a way to contact her to tell her to come on Iron Woman, please do. All right, Kelly. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Haley. If you are listening before your race, good luck. And if you're listening after your race, congratulations. I'm sure you smashed it. So, Kelly, I don't know when I'll talk to you again, but probably soon. And thanks for joining me.
You've been listening to the Iron Women podcast hosted by Haley Chura and Alyssa Gadeski.
Iron Women is a production of Feisty Media and is edited by Lydia Russell and produced by Ella Natition.
Head to livefeisty.com to find more podcasts, stories, and fresh perspectives.
Thanks for listening.
Chasing Epic is the essence of the Orca brand. It is about seeking the moments in life that make us feel truly alive and connected with the beauty of the world around us.
And let's be real, chasing Epic is feisty.
Orca has been a longtime partner of Feisty, and we work with them year after year because we love their products and their commitment to creating amazing wetsuits made for women. They also supported me on Team USA last year at the One Water Race, which was most definitely also chasing epic.
With Orca's range of triathlon wetsuits, including Apex and Athlex, you can choose between flexibility, buoyancy, or a combination of both. There's a wetsuit for every triathlete and for all of your epic adventures.
And as a Feisty listener, you can get 15% off with the code IRONWOMEN15 at orca.com.
All right, Alyssa, I'm like starting to swim more again. And I feel like you were swimming a lot last year with One Water. And how did you keep your hair from getting so destroyed?
I was swimming so much last year and I used Try Hard, Kelly, and I still swear by it. They have extensively researched this problem and created a superior vegan, dermatologically tested proprietary blend. Try Hard has shampoo, conditioner, body wash, and more stuff. Everything you're going to need for your pre and post swim necessities. I've also seen that top pros like Chelsea Sodaro and Lucy Charles Barkley also praise the effectiveness of Try Hard. I think it's like definitely changed how good I feel just coming out of chlorine.
And we have a code right now too for anyone who wants to try, you know, try hard and stop suffering from dry, itchy skin, having their hair get all, you know, green, which happens to me because mine's like super blonde and get all beat up. You can try any of the Try Hard products with the code 20feisty, that's 20feisty, for 20% off store-wide at tryhard.co. So that's 20feisty for 20% off at tryhard.co.
Alyssa, Amino Co. has been a longtime podcast sponsor, and every time I'm listening to the show and I hear our Amino Co. ad, I'm always shocked to hear how Amino Co. co-founder Dr. Robert Wolf has run a marathon in under 2 hours and 30 minutes 62 times. I just can't believe that's a real stat.
Me either. It is very impressive, and it gives me a lot of confidence Dr. Wolf knows what he's talking about when it comes to performance and recovery. I actually took Amino Co. Heal before and after my recent knee surgery.
I've been using Heal a lot after really big workouts as I've started to ramp up my training. And I also use my personal favorite, Amino Co. Perform, before and during my hardest sessions.
Do you have a favorite flavor?
For Perform, I definitely go with the strawberry lemonade. It has a really light flavor and a little bit of caffeine that I think helps keep me focused during my really tough intervals. And for Heal, I like vanilla. I just feel like vanilla gets me into recovery mode. What about you?
The vanilla Heal is my favorite too. I find it mixes really well into my post-workout shakes that I make.
Wait, what do you put in your shakes?
Well, oftentimes just whatever I have in the fridge, sometimes vegetables, sometimes collagen, you know, whatever I have. Summer shakes are way more interesting because it's like I make them cold. But the winter shakes are a little less fancy.
Do you ever add snow to your winter shakes?
I mean, I'm going to start doing that now.
I don't know. Make sure it's clean snow. I am not quite as fancy. I just add water. I think it still works pretty well. But however you like your Amino Co., you can rest assured that in clinical trials, muscle protein synthesis from exercise more than doubled by athletes using Perform, and Heal was shown to trigger muscle growth and repair better than other high-quality protein sources.
Head to aminoco.com/ironwomen to see very large photos of me and Haley using Amino Co. products. Then select your favorite products and use code IRONWOMEN for 30% off at checkout. First time purchases also come with a free gift.
That's aminoco.com/ironwomen and code IRONWOMEN for 30% off.